Okay. So it's been really interesting this past few days. I've been thinking about sharing my testimony, and I started thinking about what are the things that God took me out of, and really not focusing on those, but just kind of remembering those in a good way, not in a condemning way. And then I came across randomly, well, not randomly to the Lord, but to me it was random, a document in my computer that was entitled Testimony. And I was like, okay, I must have written up a testimony at some point. So I opened it up, and it was from April of 2014, so 3 years ago. And it was from, I did a summer project in Dallas the year after I got saved. And I had written this whole thing out that I had to send them my testimony so that they knew I was saved and I had, like, a salvation and everything. And so I looked at it and I had so much detail of things that I realized, like, I don't even remember these things anymore. Like, God's, like, washed them, like, from my memory. Like, At that point, when it was like 8 months after I'd gotten saved, it was so like in the forefront of my mind. And it was so cool to see that he has taken those things that even at that time, and he's washed those clean. And it was really cool. So I just want to share a little bit of my testimony tonight. So I grew up in a house for the first 8 or 9 years of my life that didn't, I mean, we went to church on, like, Easter, Christmas, and VBS so that my mom could have a break during summer. gotta love that. And so I didn't really have any true experience of, it was just kind of a traditional thing, whatever we go. And then when I was 8 years old, my parents got a divorce, and my dad came to Christ through that divorce, and my mom did not. And so from that point on, I lived 50-50 both sides. So I'd live Monday, Tuesday at my mom's, Wednesday, Thursday at my dad's, and then Fridays and weekends flip-flopped. So I basically had the choice between I can live a life that's worldly and sinful, or I can live a life that follows God and what my dad is doing. And so naturally my bent was, I'm going to go see what the world has to offer and do all that. So by the age of 12, I was in seventh grade, got my first boyfriend, which, yeah, it did not go well. So we dated for like a year. And then when I was in eighth grade, I was 13, I decided I don't want to be with him anymore. I'm going to date this new guy. Well, this new guy ended up being, he was a drug dealer. So he was 4 years older than me. And so at that point, I kind of went deeper into not just wanting the things of the world, but actually participating in those things. So I got into drugs first before alcohol when I was 13. And so I started doing drugs pretty regularly every weekend, and I would live this double life. It was like I had like Brooke at dad's house, which was like perfect angel, doesn't cuss, doesn't do anything. I had Brooke at mom's house, which was like kind of cusses, but like she doesn't know I do drugs and all this stuff. And then I had Brooke outside of all of that, that was like living this completely different life than anybody knew. And so it was a hard balancing act, honestly, that, like, I would go to my dad's house and be like, okay, it's time, turn off the switch, like, can't say anything, like, be good, and then go to my friend's house and, like, be a potty mouth and everything else. So it was a very odd couple years in middle school. And then when I got to high school, I kind of stopped the drugs thing because that boyfriend was gone. And then I started the partying high school thing. So alcohol and then weed, but at that time it wasn't a big drug thing. And just whatever, like when I was hanging out with friends. And so I'd do that every weekend. And it kind of just became my life. It became like during the week I'd go to school and somehow got good grades. I don't know how. And then on the weekends was a completely different person. And so senior year of high school came, and I was applying to colleges, and I was like, I kind of want to apply to some out-of-states, and I was like, I don't really want to, forget it, I won't do that. And then this girl at my church came up to me, and she was like, oh, I'm applying to 13 out-of-state schools, and I was like, why would you apply to 13 out-of-state schools? We live in California. Like, I got 9 California schools. Like, why wouldn't you just stay here? And so through that conversation, which she probably still doesn't even know, but that moved me. God was, I didn't know, but was kind of moving me to apply to TCU. So I applied to 2 out-of-state schools. It was TCU and Belmont in Tennessee, just randomly. And I applied to TCU because a guy that I knew that on Facebook like said he was going there. It was like totally random. And so I applied. I got accepted like 2 weeks later. And I was like, I'm not going to go there. Like, it's too expensive and it's far away. And just forget it. And then in April, I still hadn't made a decision. And my dad was like, okay, you want to fly out there, do a tour, do something? So we came out. And something in me just, it, like Tamara was saying today, when you're in like that peace, I felt like a peace here. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, but like something was just like calling me here. Like I felt like I left and I was like, I don't really want to tour other schools. I don't know. I just feel like I want to be there. And I don't know why, because it's like not that pretty and there's no mountains and there's nothing to do. Like, why in the world did I want to go somewhere like this? So anyways, then I get the financial aid letter. I get like barely any financial aid to go here. Like, nothing makes sense. I'm like, this is just ridiculous. I'm going to be far away. Why am I doing this? But for some reason, persistently, like, just told my mom and my dad, like, I'm going to go here. Like, I don't know. I just want to go here. So I came to school and I did the joining the sorority thing, and I had the mindset of, okay, you know, I'm not fulfilled in what I'm doing right now in high school, but it's just the people. You know, I've known them for too long, so they're not fun to me anymore, so I'm going to move on and go to college. I'll get new people, and then they'll be fun, and then I'll just do it all over again. And so I show up here, and it's crazy because at that time, I really started to see that every weekend it was like Monday came, and I was like, okay, can't wait for Friday again. Like, can't wait for, that was my whole life for like all of high school. And it was like, I would go out on Saturdays, wake up on Sundays, go to church with my dad, and just, and then like do my week all over again, do the same thing. And so I got here and I decided I was going to do that. I was going to join the sorority and do the party thing just as I'd done in high school. And so I did that for like a month. And then I was like, this is, again, not fulfilling me. I wonder why. And so I was in a sorority meeting one random Monday night, and this guy comes in, and he's like this tall, like really attractive guy, and I'm like, like, of course. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to what he has to say. It was like external announcements or whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'll listen to this guy. Like, the rest of them, I don't really care about you, but I'll listen to him. So he gets up there and he's like, did you know that like 20% or whatever, or 70-something% of Christians lose their faith in college, and like all this stuff. He's throwing out these statistics, and he's like, we want to invite you to this retreat. It's called the Exodus Retreat. It's for freshmen and incoming transfers. And I was like, I'm a Christian. Like, I go to church. Yeah, that's my thing. Like, yeah, I could do that. Like, I don't know. I was like, the label, I'm a Christian, dragging his name through the mud while I'm doing that. And so I call my stepmom and I'm like, I don't know, this guy came, talked about a retreat, it's a Christian retreat. I might go, I don't really know. And she's like, you're going, I'm putting the money in your account right now. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, that's aggressive. I guess I'm going. So the day of comes, I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know any of these people. I don't even hang out with Christians. Like, that's just not my thing. Like, I'm a Christian. Like, yeah, I'll go to heaven, but like, I want to do my life. Like, I'll do that when I'm like 45 and not having fun anymore. Like, I want to have my 20s. Like, I want to have fun. I'll do that when I'm married and have kids, and like, it's okay. I can do it then. So I get there, and that first night, it was like, I walked in that room and I saw all these people my age worshiping Jesus. And I'd never seen that before because I always went into like the sanctuary. I didn't really want to be with people who could like search me out, could kind of sniff me out, like my age, they'd kind of know what I'm up to. And so I saw them all genuinely, like, praising God, and I was like, that's weird, like, I don't know, I never knew people like that. And then I just, like, something in that night, I felt like God was like, I have so much more for you, and you're trying to, like, live in rags, basically, the whole theme of this retreat. You're trying to live in the dirt, like, you're trying to find fulfillment in the things of this world, going out, having attention from guys, like, doing the partying thing. Everything the world says is going to fulfill you, you're doing, and it's not working. So clearly, like, that's not the right path to be going on. And so something in that night, I just was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to live this life. I've lived this life for 5 years of my life, and it's empty, and it brings nothing, and I've felt emptiness after emptiness every week. And I remember when, before I came to Christ, I remember, sorry, I'm too emotional, just every day waking up with this, like stabbing heart feeling. I can't even really explain it, but I think that was just God showing me tangibly, like, you're broken without me. And you're going to be broken no matter what because you're a sinner, but I'm going to make you whole. So I gave my life to Christ that night, and then came back from that retreat a completely, like, different person. Like, my roommate that I couldn't stand, that I was like, I want to move out, I don't like you. I got home and I was like, I just want to love you. Like, I just want to hang out with you. Like, I want to make her something. I'm going to craft her something. I, like, literally, someone took the, her letter was on our front door because our RA had put it on there, and someone had taken it off. I don't know who. And so I literally got home and made her a new letter. I'm like, this is not me. Like, I don't know who this person is. And it was so cool because it makes me think of Galatians 2:20 when it says that you're a new creation, the old things have passed and new things have come. Mm-hmm. And he literally, I think tangibly, I could feel a new heart, like, physically. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I came to Christ, and I had about 6 months from that point of just kind of, like, solitude with him. And at the time, I hated it. I was like, I have no friends. Like, I just got to college. I have no family here. I'm in a state that I don't, like, 1,400 miles away from everyone I've ever known. I can't even really talk to my old friends because they don't get what I'm saying. And, like, I guess I'm just going to sit here and, I don't know, read the Bible or something. But those 6 months kind of turned into, like, a very foundational time of just him showing me, like, you don't need anybody else. Like that, you need to be dependent on me. And, like, as long as you are searching for your fulfillment in anyone else, you're going to be sad. Like, you're going to be longing for something else. And so, yeah, that was 2013, I believe. Yeah, September of 2013. I was 17, so I've been walking with the Lord for 3.5 years. Exciting. But yeah, it's been really awesome. And there's a few verses that God's just been speaking to me a lot about recently in the past year. The first one is Joshua 1:7-9. And it says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And then the second one is Isaiah 30. And then the first verse is 19, the other one's 21. So it says, verse 19 says, he will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And I think just this recent time in my life, it's been interesting, a big period of waiting, just kind of like, okay, I'm graduating college, should I do something with my life? Should I get a job? And God's like shutting every door, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'll just sit here with my degree and hope I make a living, I don't know. And it's just been cool, he's been showing me a lot through the past year, just to focus on his word and seek him and like be in prayer, and he will be the voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. And then we don't have to worry about what way to go. And I think my whole life, I look back now and I realize that every single like step of that way was him saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Like, okay, you're falling this way. This is the way, walk in it. It's just amazing to see how faithful he was when I was so faithless. and even now, in the times when I fail, that he's still stable, that he still loves me just the same, and he doesn't change. And I think just seeing all the things in my life that were constantly changing with just everything, my parents and my dad having new kids and my mom getting like engaged and then not being engaged anymore and then dating someone else and just all so much like up and down stuff, and just my sister and just a lot of things in our family that's broken. It's so awesome to see the Lord say, like, I'm your stability, I'm the voice behind you, and like my word is your rock and you don't need anything else. And so that's my testimony. And I just wanted to read this poem. It's on your chairs if you didn't see it. I read this the other day in my devotional and then sent it to Kim, and she was like, I think you should share that. I was like, okay. So it says, 'Twas by a path of sorrows drear Christ entered into rest, and shall I look for roses here, or think that earth is blessed? Heaven's whitest lilies blow from earth's sharp crown of woe. Who here his cross can meekly bear, shall wear the kingly purple there. And it just reminded me of that, the same thing, rags to riches, that no matter what, I think something he's been showing me lately is, I would rather be in the pit of like the worst trial ever and have Jesus there with me than be pursuing any of the world's lusts or the things that it tries to draw you in with and not have him with me. Because it doesn't matter what cross we have to bear this side of heaven, but it matters that one day we're going to be in heaven with him wearing that purple and royally robed in his righteousness. Thank you. I'm going to pray. Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for your saving grace, Lord, that you took the cross, Lord, that you bore our sin, Lord, that you bore our shame, and Lord, that you promised to walk with us every single step of the way on this earth. And I thank you for the story that you have given to every single woman in this room, and Lord, all of the ways that you are using them for your kingdom, Lord, and for your glory. And I just pray, Lord, that we would see that whatever cross we have to bear on the side of heaven, Lord, would just be our blessing on the other side, of reward, of getting to just stand with you, Lord, and be co-heirs with you. And Lord, we're just so grateful that you would take that for us, Lord, that you would take the cross that we deserve and you would give us your robes, Lord. We can't understand it, Lord, and we can't try to, Lord, but I just thank you, Lord, for your grace and your love and your mercy upon us. And I just pray that you would just continue to bless this retreat, Lord. Continue to keep our hearts and our eyes fixed on you this time. In Jesus' name, amen.